Bauer.
Dan Olson-Bang.
And this is GradCast, brought to you by Syracuse University. Today, Dan and I are talking about some miscellaneous questions that we get quite often from students. They don't necessarily fit into a category, so that's why we're just calling this Miscellaneous Questions for Frequently Asked Questions.
Beautiful title.
So, Dan, let's get started. Typical question we get is, I'm a fresher. I came here straight to SU to maybe complete a master's degree. I have no experience working because I just finished my undergrad and came straight to Syracuse University. So I'm a fresher and I'm worried I can't get a job. Can I get a job?
Of course you can get a job. This is a question that comes up a lot. We hear this one all the time. And the basic idea is, I just don't have enough experience. And one thing I would say about that is, what are you here for but to get experience? And so instead of thinking of this in terms of perhaps the ways that you stack up or the ways that you compare or compete with fellow students, what you should really be doing is just concentrating on doing a great job in your program, getting an internship if possible, and you know, kind of landing the opportunities that you need. One thing that I think people neglect as slightly less experienced students and applicants to jobs is that some of those people who have more experience have something very important, which is a niche. They have some sort of area of specialization that they want to concentrate on. And that's an opportunity that you can take within your program by carefully selecting courses that fit around a particular kind of area of expertise, getting an internship with intention. And those kinds of things can help you to become a combination of well-rounded, but also a candidate who's readable to a certain kind of audience, certain kinds of industries or certain subfields. And so those are great ways of taking advantage of your time at Syracuse and of your time, hopefully, in an internship to make an impact that will help you stand out. So in short, of course you can get a job if you're a fresher, if you're new, haven't done a job in the past. That's what your program is for. It's a conversation starter, and that's what we're here to help with. The next question, though, is really quite the opposite, Tracy. What if I already have work experience? I'm an experienced person. Let's say I came to this country from another country where I had worked for 3 years. Can I get an internship in a situation like that?
This is the same answer to our first question. Of course you can. I do think a lot of students are concerned that if they have work experience already, that companies won't want to hire them. And as you mentioned, Dan, sometimes these students are working in a specific niche area, and maybe they're trying to pivot into a new field or a new area, and their degree is slightly different. We don't see a lot of big changes from an undergrad degree to a master's degree. However, we do sometimes see that, and that's also someone who can get an internship. I think the thing to remember is, when we are talking about getting a job or getting an internship, there are so many different factors to your success in securing those types of opportunities. And so if you're concerned that your work experience is going to hinder your progress or your ability to get that internship, we want to find out why. What is your area of concern? How can we help you understand the internships that are available, as well as how your background could fit into those and make you a great candidate for the position? I think what's really important when doing a job search or an internship search of any kind is understanding your background and being able to translate and tell someone who's never met you about that experience, and framing stories that show, here's how this experience, related or not, can help me in, you know, doing a great job for you as an intern or in a job. And so I do think a lot of students get concerned that, you know, they've worked for 3 years, they've worked sometimes even for 6 years, and that companies may not be interested in taking them as an intern. But again, it's really about how we frame your application materials, how we go about helping you with your networking activities to get you some more understanding of companies and industries that interest you, and helping you to lay out your case for why they should hire you effectively. And we would say that to someone, regardless of if they're a fresher or they have lots of work experience, all of these things are possible. There is no one right way to get a position. And of course, people get positions in a variety of ways. And so helping you to understand that there are so many possibilities out there and keeping your optimism up is really important in that search, because we all know that finding an internship or a job can be really tough. And so that's what we're here for, to help you answer these questions. But if you're finding that you're worried about some of these topics, talking to us through those worries would be really important, because oftentimes they're not really based in anything that is proven, right? There's no thing in the United States that says if you have 3 years of work experience before that you can never be an intern again. Those things just don't exist. So it's really, again, framing your experience and showcasing it to a potential employer. We're going to switch gears for our next question and bring this over to Dan. Dan, so we have a lot of students who are so incredibly busy. They've got homework. We've talked about this in previous podcast episodes. They've got homework. They're maybe teaching or research assistants. They, you know, are doing all these different things. And students just have trouble fitting in doing career or job search activities into their already busy schedules. So how do students fit in these extra activities for their job search while they're already maintaining a course load and other responsibilities on campus?
Great question. You know, I always tell people, and I'm sure that you do too, Tracy, that getting a job is a job. And for many people, it feels all-encompassing and in fact can become all-encompassing. And I think that that's not necessary. The best way to do this is with just a bit of planning, proper planning. So instead of saying, I need to drop everything that I'm doing and work frantically on, you know, being a good applicant and getting applications out, I think that the better way to do it is to spread it out in time and start a little earlier and choose your battles. There are many people that we talk to who work very hard on a resume, which they will then send out to possibly hundreds of employers. And I think that feels fast to them. You know, the number just piles up. You're at one, and then you're at 10, and then you're at 50, and wow, you're at 150 applications. But in fact, that's actually very time consuming and not necessarily the best use of time, because many of those positions are ones for which you are only tangentially qualified, and your resume may start to look a little strained for some of those positions. It may not be appropriately customized. So there are ways of working smart that are helpful in modifying that. So for instance, if you were to start off, you're in year one of a master's, let's say. If you start off and you just network with people, you just talk to people, conduct informational interviews to find out about different fields, to learn about what your opportunities may be, you only need to do that once, twice, three times a week, let's say. That's not something that's a full-time job. And you build on that, you do it in dribs and drabs. And then in your second year, I'm leaving out the internship application process for the moment. In your second year, you kind of pivot more intently to applying for jobs. In general, though, you're not actually needing to apply to jobs except in certain rush times, perhaps, you know, during the cycle, if you're a computer scientist, that might have you working in the fall. In many cases, though, there are fields where you're working in the spring on applications. And yes, that's going to be more time consuming as a project. But if you take it on and set yourself a simple goal, and you make sure that the jobs that you're applying to are ones for which you are actually qualified and would really do, I think it would actually make the job, the application process, feel much more doable, much more possible. So the key is, don't say to yourself, I'm going to do all this today. You know, you're not going to be able to just get a job today. You don't have to set a goal of applying to 50 jobs a day either. What you want to do instead, which is, by the way, when you're applying to 50 jobs, you're mostly just doing data entry and copying and pasting. That's not really a smart search. That's a hard search, but not a smart one. Instead, you're applying to a smaller number, perhaps with connections that you've established through networking and informational interviewing, and you are working on ones for which you have a better chance of actually getting the job. And so that's a way of working smart that's not as daunting, I think. You don't have to get to those huge numbers. And so, yeah, it's very hard to do a job. It is, it can feel like getting a job is a job, like I said before. But, you know, ask us for ways of economizing on your time, making the most of your time, and in general, enjoy the process. You know, it's a form of shopping, if you like shopping. Are you my future? Are you my future? And so if you kind of think about it in a little bit of a different way, it can actually be an exciting addition to your work routine rather than kind of drudgery and boredom.
Is that what you do when you go shopping? You pick up an item and you say, are you my future?
Are you my future? Are you my future? Well, you are shopping for futures, though.
That's
if
true.
You think about it. You know, I mean, when I applied to this job, I submitted just a few sheets of paper, and I was living in a different part of New York State and living a very different lifestyle. And I hand in these three or four sheets of paper, and all of a sudden, my life is completely different. And if I had submitted different sheets of paper in different places, my life would be very different. Maybe it's more like saying, yes, it's not quite like shopping. It's really more transformative than that. Mm-hmm. And so there's something exciting about it that I think it's good to capture and to think about.
Yeah, I agree.
So Tracy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So Tracy, another question that we get a lot is, and sometimes from somewhat despondent people, is what do I do when I've been rejected from a job or an internship? You know, maybe they're a little upset, maybe they're a little downcast. What do you say to people?
This is one of the most frustrating parts of doing the job or internship search. And so when you are rejected from an opportunity, which I tell students all the time, because most of us are going to apply to more opportunities than we could possibly ever be interviewed for, you are going to get rejected. And so it really stinks. It's a huge bummer, especially when you've put the time and effort into networking or, you know, applying with very customized materials, things like that. Now, depending on what stage you were rejected from the opportunity might depend on what you would do next. So for example, if you submit an application online and you get an email back and it looks auto-generated that says they're not moving forward with you and they're moving forward with other candidates, you most likely wouldn't do anything at this point. You might consider looking at the job openings and apply to other opportunities, because when you get rejected from an opportunity, that doesn't mean, no, you cannot work for us ever. That means this position is not a good fit for you based on what we've looked over your materials and looked over the other applicants, would sometimes go into the hundreds or dozens of other competitors who've applied. Sometimes, though, you are very interested in the opportunity. So again, keep your eyes open for different positions. When I was applying to Syracuse University, the first time I applied to SU was right after I graduated from undergrad. And I may have told this already, but I didn't hear anything back for months. And so a lot of times we assume we are rejected from an opportunity when we haven't heard from the company. There is no such specific timeline that a company has to follow in order to get back to you. So don't just assume if you haven't heard back from an opportunity and you applied 2 or 3 months ago that you are not getting that opportunity. A lot of things happen that you're not aware of within a company where they could delay the hiring process. So don't assume you're rejected until you get word from the company. Now, if you've been rejected after an interview or a couple of rounds of interviews, you probably will get a more personalized notice that you are not being considered, whether that's a phone call or that's an email directly to you. And if that's the case, you know, your initial reaction might be frustration or being upset. I know I've definitely been rejected from opportunities where I didn't understand quite why. And so that's normal to feel that way. And it is a big disappointment, especially if you were really interested in the position. If you are, you know, called or sent an email, it's okay to respond graciously, thanking the person for taking the time to meet with you and interview with you. And you may also want to ask them one time, is there anything that I could do to make myself a better candidate for a future position? Again, just because you were rejected from the opportunity does not mean that you will never get a chance to work for the company in the future. when I was more regularly applying to Syracuse University while I was working as a recruiter, I was rejected from SU two times before I received my job offer. With some hindsight and some more knowledge, I realized that those positions were not a great fit for me. But in the moment, I was extremely frustrated, wondering, gosh, I thought I really nailed the interview. I did a great job. What do I need to do to get hired? And so it was a little frustrating to me. But the more that I networked and the more that I learned about the organization, the more I was prepped and ready for when a position came along that was really the perfect fit for me. And that was 10 years ago at this point. And so I've worked at SU for 10 years very successfully, even though I was rejected from them at the beginning, right? And so asking that question, what can I do to make myself a better candidate? They might give you some feedback on your interviewing skills, maybe a skill set that you could develop or other jobs to keep your eyes open for, but it's just a way to get you some more information so that way you can show you're interested in improving.
One thing I would say about that, though, is that sometimes you'll hear back from an employer, and this is something to really note, and they will tell you that your qualifications didn't match, and or we found a more qualified candidate. And people take that hard, or they take it seriously. And one thing I tell people, because that's the most common response that you'll get, either in the form of a mass email or even if you do ask people, and often that's not really a meaningful thing to say. And they say it because you can't sue them for that, right? That's a very, very open-ended thing. You can always say somebody was more qualified than you, right? That's just an easy thing to say for them. And so I would caution about taking that particular piece of feedback seriously, because it's typically not something you can do very much about. And in my experience, it's something that people say that isn't very insulting, right? And is not easily disproven, right? I can't say I am the most qualified person who applied, because how can you know, right? And so it's kind of a conversation ender, and it's not always the most meaningful piece of feedback, unless, of course, they give you more, like if you had taken this course, or here's this course on Coursera that might really give you the experience you're looking for. You know, that's genuine advice. But in general, if people just say you're not qualified enough or you don't have enough experience, it's fine. You might look at your qualifications, but I would also just take it with a grain of salt.
Right, of course. And if you do get that simple response, you don't want to push the person for more information, right? You don't want to be aggressive in it. But what, you know, is important is if you do get some sort of tailored information back. And you may get a response when you ask that question, or they may not respond. You know, they might give you that answer of someone else was more qualified, or, you know, things like that. So if you have a question on what you should do next, of course, Dan and I can always talk you through these specific situations to give you more of an understanding. Because what you wouldn't want to do is press the employer, be too aggressive, respond and demand more specific feedback, because then that will definitely, you know, I think it would take into consideration like future employment as you being too aggressive or not as friendly as they're looking for in a job seeker. So if they do give you that, you know, basic information, you probably would leave it at that. Now, if they give you something more specific, that gives you the opportunity, just like with a networking contact, to take that information, to thank them for that information. And then if you end up applying again in the future, you could mention how you've gone, you know, and done something that they had suggested you do to become more qualified for an opening. So it gives you an opportunity to show you're very interested in the position by taking that information and applying it to the future. Great. So we wanted to cover a few of these different questions that we get quite frequently. Of course, in any of our podcast episodes, and especially with these questions, we know that you may have more specific concerns. And so, of course, you can always schedule an appointment with Dan or myself in Handshake to go over feedback you've received, questions you have, concerns going on with your job search, and we can look at your specific situation and give you the best pieces of feedback, tips, and advice as possible. We hope you learn something new and enjoy the rest of your day.